Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to talk to you in the next few moments about pursuing God's blessing in your life. Pursuing God's blessing in your life. As we prepare for another new year, one of the things that I want is I want to live the kind of life that God can bless. So maybe the question is, what do you and I need to do in our life? What would be some of the things that would be very, very important in order for you and I to experience the blessing of God? The Bible tells us a lot of things about God. It speaks about his character and his characteristics. But one of the things that jumps out when you read the Bible is that God is a God who, as we saw in our series on gifts God gives, he's incurably generous. He's a God who wants to bless. He's a God who wants to show his power in your life. I believe this. I believe much of what we see in our life depends on what we're looking for. You'll find in life a lot of times exactly the thing that you're looking for. And if you're looking for God to bless you, you will line up your life in accordance with the things that can make his blessing possible in your life. Because he wants to bless. I mean, you read Genesis, you don't get out of chapter one. The first 7 days, first 6 days of creation. As soon as God creates the man and the woman, what does he do? He blessed them. And all the way through Scripture, you see God blessing people who pursue him. But now here's the interesting thing about God's blessing. Even though God wants to bless, and even though he provides for blessing, not everyone receives that blessing. God wants to bless people, it's part of his nature, but unless a person positions their life and pursues his blessing, they'll not experience it. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the blessing of God, a general description. It's a relationship with God that leads to an experience of his supernatural goodness in every aspect of our life. That doesn't mean we're not going to have trials. It just means he's going to walk with us through them and many times deliver us out of them. But either way, we're going to know his supernatural strength and goodness. So what I want to do in the next few moments is I want to look at an individual in the Old Testament, do a little bit of a survey. That means just kind of scan several chapters regarding his life. The individual is Jacob. Nobody in the Old Testament desired God's blessing more. And I would suggest a few people in the Old Testament's life teaches us more about the blessing of God than Jacob. His whole life literally centered on pursuing God's blessing. He's a man who cares about spiritual things. He's a man who cares about knowing God's blessing. In fact, he desired God's blessing so much that in Genesis chapter 27, he was willing to steal to get it. And so his life becomes a study in pursuing God's blessing. And the good news about Jacob is simply this. He wasn't a perfect person, as we're going to see. I mean, he's not the guy like Moses whose face shines with the glory of God. He's not the guy like Daniel who seeks God 3 times a day. And there's much to be said about that in receiving the blessing of God. But Jacob, by all accounts, is very average in many ways. With one exception. This is a man who desires the blessing of God on his life. And his life gives us some keys to knowing God's blessing in our life as we move into 2019. Now, just a little background for those who are maybe not familiar with the Bible. Remember Abraham, we've talked about Abraham in Romans. He's the father of faith. Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac. Isaac had 2 sons. They were twins. Their names were Esau, the older, and Jacob, the younger. Because Esau was the older of the two, he was entitled to receive two things. The first thing he's entitled to receive is the birthright. He would get a double portion of the inheritance. So whatever Jacob got, Esau would get twice as much. Think of it this way. Esau would get two-thirds of the inheritance. Jacob would get one-third of the inheritance. But along with the birthright, because he was the firstborn, he would be entitled to the blessing. That there would be a blessing that would be pronounced over him that would be spiritually, supernaturally significant in his life. Here's what the blessing involved. He would be the spiritual leader of the family. So just as there was Abraham, then Isaac, next in line should have been Esau. That's how it would work. He would be the spiritual leader. And the blessing God promised to Abraham and passed to Isaac would go to him. Here's the problem, though. Though the blessing was his for the taking, though the birthright literally belonged to him, Esau was a man who didn't care about those things. You see, God can want to bless you. God can want to work in your life, but you have to desire his blessing. I mean, this is Esau. He doesn't care about birthrights. He doesn't care about blessings. He doesn't care about a close relationship with God. He doesn't care about having God's hand on his life. He doesn't care about the legacy he's going to leave in with his life to his descendants. He doesn't care about those things. So one day he comes in from a day of hunting and he's absolutely famished. And Jacob's in the camp, and Jacob's kind of the Wolfgang Puck of the family. He's making some gourmet soup. As he's making the gourmet stew, Esau says, "Please give me some of that. I'm famished." And Jacob sees an opportunity. Jacob knows Esau all too well. Jacob knows Esau doesn't care about the birthright. He doesn't care about the blessing. So here's what Jacob says. Jacob says, "Listen, you give me your birthright and I'll give you a bowl of soup." Wow. Now that sounds absolutely ridiculous. Who in their right mind would sell a birthright for a bowl of soup? But you know what? I see people do it all the time as a pastor. That's good. I see people who would rather have a relationship with a certain person, an illicit relationship, an ungodly relationship, rather than have the blessing of God on their life. I see people who try to make things happen on their own rather than trust God. And so they're willing to cheat. They're willing to connive. They're willing. I see people all the time who are willing to sell their birthright, to forsake the blessing of God for other things, for position, for popularity, for promotion. This is Esau. Look at it. Genesis 25. "And Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright now.' And Esau said, 'I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?'" He doesn't see it as something he can use today. Therefore, it has no value to him. "And so, Jacob said, 'Swear to me now.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way." Watch this. "Thus Esau despised his birthright." He forfeited the wealth. Imagine that. Two-thirds of his father's estate, he forfeits for a bowl of soup. He forfeits his position, not only in the family at that time, but for all ages. He forfeits the legacy his children would have. If he serves God and serves God well, it will make a difference for the generations that follow. He forfeits that. And he does it not for a lifetime of soup, not for a gallon of soup. He does it for one bowl of soup. If you're familiar with the story, You know that sometime later what happens is Isaac now thinks he's about ready to die. Isaac doesn't know this. He's going to live another 80 years, actually. But he thinks he's going to die. He's blind. And so what Isaac wants to do is he wants to bless Esau. Now, here's something to consider. Isaac knows that Jacob has the birthright. Isaac knows that now the blessing really belongs to Jacob. And Isaac knows that there was a prophecy before the boys were even born that the older would serve the younger. But Isaac isn't interested in this moment in following God's will. What Isaac is interested in doing is doing what he wants to do, and it is going to cause tremendous heartache and brokenness in the family. Moms and dads, be very, very careful about pursuing your own will when you know what God's will is for that son, for that daughter, for your life. Be very careful about thinking you know more than God, that you know how to work the angles in a way that will be most advantageous. Here's Isaac, and he says to Esau, he says, why don't you go prepare some tasty game? Go out and hunt, kill something, prepare the meal, and bring it to me. We'll eat, we'll have the meal, and then I will bless you. Isaac's wife, Rebecca, hears that. And when she hears that, she decides, you know what, that's not right. And I'm going to help Jacob get what is his. And so she tells Jacob, listen, here's what your father said. Now, you put on, since he's blind, you put on Esau's clothes so you'll smell like him. And we're going to fix it so that you feel like him, because Esau was hairy. That's what his name meant. So we're going to fix it so you feel hairy. We're going to put some skin on you, some animal skin. And I'll prepare the meal, and you take it in, and you get your father's blessing. And that's exactly what he did. He took the blessing. He stole it. You say, but it was his. It was, but he wasn't trusting God to give it to him. Here's the upshot. Look at it in Genesis 27. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. So Esau comes in, finds out Jacob's already got the blessing. He says to Isaac, isn't there another blessing? And Isaac says, there's really only one blessing. So all of a sudden Esau says, I'm going to kill Jacob. That's what I'm going to do. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. In other words, as soon as my father's dead, I'm going to kill Jacob. And with that, all of that's background to the story we're going to look at. And when Jacob gets word of that, Rebekah, his mother, comes to him and says, listen, your brother's wanting to kill you. You need to get out of here. You need to go see my brother in a place called Haran, and you need to get a wife there. And so she sends him away. And Jacob makes a 450-mile journey to where his uncle lives. 35 miles into the journey. So he leaves Beersheba. He's headed northeast. He gets about 35 miles into the journey, and he comes to a place, and he makes camp there, and it's there that he has an encounter with God that is life-changing for him. And it gives us the first of three keys I'm going to highlight. There could be many others, but three keys I'm going to highlight regarding the blessing of God. Key number one, here it is. The key to God's blessing is relationship with God. The key to God's blessing is relationship with God. Let's read it beginning in Genesis 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Jesus will reference this dream and this vision in John chapter 1, and he will say, he is the ladder. He is the way to God. He is the one who bridges the gap between heaven and earth. But here's Jacob, and he has this dream. And behold, the Lord stood above this ladder and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. He's saying, listen, I'm going to give you this land. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. I'm going to multiply your offspring. And you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, the south. And in your offspring shall all families of the earth be blessed. Who is the offspring who's going to bring blessing to us? Jesus. You're going to have an offspring, and he is going to bless the entire world, all of humanity. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. I just want to say that, you know, as you're walking with God, there are times God speaks things to us about our future and even about the future of people around us. Doesn't mean he tells us everything, nor does he tell us how he's going to do it. There's a lot of mystery in what we just read that he spoke to Jacob. I'm just simply saying that when you're walking with God, God is going to show you things. God is going to put things into your heart. Some of those things are for you to keep to yourself. They're between you and God. Other times, God gives you an awareness so that you can impart it to others, as we'll see. Here then we read, then Jacob awoke from his sleep. Now watch this. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. What I want you to notice here is Jacob is in the presence of the Lord. He says, the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. You know, it's possible to be in the house of God, because that's what he says. This is the house of God. And not know God is in this place, and not know that God is wanting to speak to you, and not know that God is wanting to bless you, and not know that God has something to say to you because your mind is caught up with a whole host of other things that may be important or may not be important, but you're so caught up in what's happening around you on this plane that you're not thinking about what God is doing on this plane. And so the key to this is relationship with God. That God wants us to walk with him. And when we're walking with him, he's going to speak to you. He's going to talk to you. I think the Psalm, I think it's 25 and verse 14, the message. God friendship is for God worshipers. Those are the ones he confides in the message it says that. That God wants to confide in you, that God wants to work in you, that God wants to show you things that will bless your life, that will bless people around you, that God wants to encourage you. Some of you today, you need an encouraging word from the Lord. Jacob needed an encouraging word from the Lord, and God wanted to give it. It's just that Jacob had to be in a place where he could hear it. He had to be aware that God was there, that God cared, that God was with him. And all of that comes by way of relationship. I want to ask you, how much time do you spend on your relationship with the Lord? How much time do you give God? How much time do you spend talking to him? How much time do you spend listening to him, either by listening in your prayer closet or listening to the Word? How much time do you give to that? Let me ask you this. If you gave people close to you the same amount of time you're giving God, what kind of relationship would you have with those people? I mean, God wants us to have relationship with him. The scripture says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So the first key to blessing is relationship with the Lord. This is why the prayer meeting is so important, because in the prayer meeting, it's why church is important, because you're in the presence of the Lord. You're experiencing the moving of the Spirit of God. You're experiencing his presence, and you're learning how to respond to that. You're learning how to sense that. The prayer meeting even more so as we're gathered together. I'm telling you, the best investment you would ever make in experiencing the blessing of God in your life is to commit yourself that in 2019, you're going to be in the prayer meeting. You're going to spend your time in the presence of the Lord, that you're going to get your family here, that you're going to be here, that you're going to learn to listen to God, to wait on God, to seek God in a way you never have, and watch what God would do in your life. Yeah, First key to blessing is relationship with God. Second key to blessing is restoration with people. Restoration with people. Now, Jacob stole the blessing from Esau, and Esau was bitter, and he planned to kill Jacob, so Jacob flees, and 20 years pass. For 20 years, there's no interaction between Jacob and Esau. For 20 years, Jacob, he doesn't go home, doesn't visit his parents, he's away. In this time in his life, Jacob is, he's gone, he's somewhere around 70 years old when he leaves. Flees, so imagine this. I mean, this is not like two teenage boys having a tiff. These are grown men. He's now approaching 90 years old. He's wanting to come back. He's wanting to see his parents. But as he gets ready to return home, he makes the journey now, 450 miles. He's headed back. As he gets close to the land where his family lives, two things happen. First of all, he comes in contact with a camp of angels. Isn't that interesting? Look at it in Genesis 32. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaim. In other words, this is the place where God's angels are camped. What's happening here? What God is doing is God is reminding Jacob, because Jacob is going to face a terrifying situation, as we're going to see in just a moment. And God is simply saying, listen, Jacob, I'm there, and I'll be there for you. And there's times God pulls back the veil that really separates the natural from the supernatural world and lets us see things. I believe he does that for people who aren't Christians as well as for people who are Christians. Here's Jacob, and he sees these angels. It must have been an amazing sight. And then Jacob finds out he's going to meet Esau. Look at it in verse 3 of chapter 32. Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau's brother in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, instructing them, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now, and I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male servants and female servants." Let me just say this. Here's Jacob. Jacob makes the commitment. When he leaves, all he has is his staff in his hand. It's all he has. And he has an encounter with God. And here's when God, when he's aware of God's presence and who God is and how God blesses, here's what Jacob says. "You've said you'll bless me. And here's my response to you. I will give you a tenth of all that I get." Here's a man who tithes. And here's the blessing of God evident in his life. Justin talked about it here at the South Campus. But there's something about saying, "God, I'm going to be faithful in my finances." This is not part of my point, but I am throwing it in because I think it's something worth considering at the start of the year, that it is a part of God's blessing in your life financially, and you see it here. He has all of this, female servants, male servants. And he says, "I have sent to tell my Lord in order that I might find favor in your sight." In other words, here's what happens. God is close to him. And when God gets close to you, God is going to convict you that you need to be right with the people you've wronged. You see, there's some people here today, and there are people, even as I talk about people you've wronged, immediately you can think of them. Because the Holy Spirit, you're in the presence of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit is calling you to a restoration of relationship with the people you wronged. Now watch what happens here. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you, and there are 400 armed men." So Jacob says, "Hey, I just want to let you know, I just want to be right with you." And now he gets word that Esau's coming with an army of 400 people. And Jacob is absolutely scared out of his mind. He's going to take and he's going to break up his camp, his assets, his family into groups so that if Esau attacks the first group, the others can escape. He's going to do all of that. And then he's getting them all situated. And now he's alone at night and he's wrestling. He can't sleep. Ever had a night like that where you knew the next day was going to be like there was something you dreaded and now all of a sudden it is big and you're not sleeping? And here's Jacob. Look at it in verse 22. That same night, Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him. We know from other scripture that this man is the Lord, that it's a theophany. It's a presentation of God in human form. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. So all night, they're wrestling physically. There's a wrestling match. Now, you know, God could just, you know, he could put him out, take him out, but he's working him. Watch what happens, verse 25. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, in other words, Jacob's not giving up. Jacob understands that there is something supernatural that's happening in this wrestling. He knows that. And he's not going to give up. Why? Because there's something Jacob wants. Jacob wants the blessing of God. This is a characteristic of his life. If he has to wrestle for it, he's going to wrestle for it. So he couldn't prevail against Jacob, so he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. In other words, dislocated his hip. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a dislocated bone, but it hurts. If you've ever had a dislocated hip, and I have, it's very, very painful. So I was playing football, I got hit, got hit, and when I was laying on the ground, my left foot was by my head. That is very painful. So, anyway, that's for what it's worth. Little Lindell history you probably have never heard. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let go of you until you bless me." You know, I just want to say there's something about tenacity. If you want to see the blessing of God, don't think it's automatic and it just automatically just falls in your lap. There are some things you do that bring about his blessing. There are other times you will wrestle with God for his blessing. Why? Because God is not going to leave you as you are. He loves you as you are. He just wants you to be different than you are. And he's going to put his hand on those things in your life and my life that are not what they need to be. That's what's happening here. Jacob wants to be blessed, and God is saying, "You know, Jacob, before I bless you, there's some things you need to deal with." You say, like what? Look at it. And he said to him, this is what the Lord said, "What is your name?" This is very, very interesting. Why does he ask that? Do you remember the last time Jacob sought blessing? He was asked that question. Do you remember? His father, Isaac, said, "Who are you? What is your name?" And what did he say? He lied. And he said, "My name is Esau." Look at it. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau." So now God is taking him back. He lied to his father about his name. So now the Lord takes him back and says, "Who are you? I want to know." Because the last time you wanted blessing, you lied about who you were. So I want to know who you are. Who are you? God goes back to that place. And before Jacob can have the blessing God wants to give him, Jacob has to go back and make some things from his past right. Your walk with God, can I just say this, is not just about you and God. That if you want to know God's blessing, for some here this morning, there's going to have to be a restoration of relationship with that person that you wronged. That person that you did something that was not right, you said something you should not have said, you cut them out of a deal, you hurt them. You knew what you were doing, but you wanted what you wanted. And now you're thinking, you know what? I'm right with God, and I love God, and that's all that counts, and I want God's blessing, and God, please bless me. And here's what God is saying. God is saying, I want to bless you, and I will bless you, but let's go back to this situation, because you can't know all of me and what I want to do in you this way if you're out of joint this way in your relationships. So Jacob has to be made right with Esau. Listen to what he said. He goes to him, he faces Esau, he makes it right with Esau, and watch what the upshot of that is. So he meets Esau and you know, is so glad to see him, is giving him this gift, and Esau asks, what are all these flocks and herds I met as I came? Jacob replied, they're a gift, my lord, to ensure your friendship. My brother, I have plenty. And Esau answered, keep what you have for yourself. But Jacob insisted, no, if I found favor with you, please accept this gift. It is a Middle Eastern way of acknowledging the offense of the past. And what happens, watch what happens, as Esau says, I accept it. I accept that apology. I accept that gift. I accept what you're trying to do. Watch this. Here's what Jacob says. And what a relief to see your friendly smile. It is like seeing the face of God. Listen, when you're reconciled with that person, the face of God, Lord, let your face shine on us, let your smile, let your countenance be upon us, is indicative of the presence of God. Here's what Jacob is saying. Now that I'm right with you, it's like it's bringing a dimension of God's presence into my life in a very wonderful way. If you and I want to see the blessing of God, if we want to see the Lord operating in our life, for some, there's a blockage in your life because you're not right with some people you wronged. And you have a responsibility to go to them and to make it right. So, third key I want you to notice. Key to God's blessing is realizing that his blessing isn't just for you. God's blessing isn't just so you and I can be blessed, but we are blessed to be a blessing. He never intended to just bless you so you could keep it all to yourself. What's God's blessing for Jacob? Well, it's the land, it's the favor of God, it's descendants, and now Jacob comes down to the end of his life. And do you know what the most important thing to Jacob is? The most important thing to Jacob, as he matures in the Lord, as he grows in the grace of the Lord, the one thing he begins to realize is it's incumbent upon him and it's important for him to bless the people around him. This is a mark of maturity when you realize that it's no longer about you and it's not what you can get, but it's what you can give. When you realize that to bless other people is more important than getting a blessing yourself. That's what Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So here's Jacob, and watch this. I want you to see some of these scriptures. Jacob comes down to the end of his life. He calls Joseph in because Joseph's going to get the rights of the firstborn. Joseph brings his two sons. And he said, are these your sons? And he asked, yes, Joseph told him, these are the sons God has given me here in Egypt. And Jacob said, bring them closer to me. Why? So that I can bless them. We read in verse 15, it says, then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who's been my shepherd all my life to this very day, the angel who's redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. And he sets his hand on him and he blesses them. And then in verse 20 of chapter 48, so Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing, and he pronounces a blessing over them. And then in verse 28, we read these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said as he told his sons goodbye. He blessed each one with an appropriate message. I want to say a couple of things about this. First of all, I want to ask parents, have you blessed your children? Has there been a moment where you prophetically spoke over your children? Spoke what God saw, not for the purpose of manipulating the direction of their life, but for the purpose of simply saying, I want to tell you, the Lord has shown me what he sees in you, and it's important that you hear from me as your parent. Have your children heard you speak life over them? Life-giving words. A great time to do it is at the different junctures of life. So they graduate from high school. Maybe as they graduate from college, perhaps as they're getting ready to enter a new season of life, maybe a new job, or they're moving away, or they're getting married. Or maybe as they're taking on new responsibility. You see, I don't think it's necessarily just one time, but I think it's very, very important for parents to pray enough for their children that you can speak prophetically to your children. It's important to give your kids a sense of legacy spiritually. To maybe write it out and then read it to them. Don't make it like 20 jillion pages long. I mean, let's you know, sometimes there's great power found in brevity. You know, do it in a way that's going to capture their interest, but leave them with words that speak life over them, that tell them what you see in them. I think that's one of the greatest, regardless of whatever else you would give your children. I think the spiritual legacy and the prophetic insight that you speak over them is the most valuable thing you'll ever give them. It's part of the blessing. Second, let me ask you this. Do you understand that you're blessed to be a blessing? Do you understand that how you manage what you have is really, really critical spiritually? I mean, and especially the next generation. Are you investing in the next generation? I mean, certainly we could talk about finances, but we could also talk about time, encouragement. You know, what I love about James River, and here's one of the things that people mistakenly think at times, is they think, well, you're not a multi-generational church. You're just all for young people. Hey, you couldn't prove that by looking at who's praying for the sick and who's doing ministry in the hosting and all the areas. I mean, this is a church of the generations, and I so love the people who are older and older in the Lord, who are here to support and to encourage. I love that about you. Because here's what you've said. It's not about me. There's a day when my generation had it the way they wanted it, but I'm about setting the table for the next generation. And you're investing through your service, through your support of the ministry here. You're investing, you're blessing the next generation, who, if the Lord tarries, I believe are going to do great things for the Lord. But let me ask you too about your own finances. I don't talk much about this, but let me just, and it's kind of on my heart and on my mind, because this last week, and I think it's good counsel for everybody in this room. This last week, Debbie and I updated our will and all that jazz, which hadn't been done for 20 years, so it was really very archaic, as you can imagine. So the last time we had a will and did all that, our kids were in their teens. And so there are things you put in your will when your children are in their teens that you don't put in there when they're in their 30s, you know what I'm saying? So we're going through all that. We're thinking about that. But a big part of what we do, and I would say this, first of all, it doesn't matter how much you have. A lot of times people say, well, I don't have much, so it doesn't matter. No, it really matters. Everybody needs to get a will. Everybody needs to. You'll bless your descendants and family by having taken care of some things, and you will create a big hassle for them if they have to probate it. So let's start with that. Everybody should do that. But then I would say this. I mean, one of the things that Debbie and I, 20 years ago and today, and the way we've set things up, we want James River to be blessed. Significantly. And the reason why is because I believe, not because I'm the leader here, but because as a leader, I've seen what God is doing here. You know, before we were elected as pastors of the church, it was obvious the hand of God was on this church. One of the few times that I would ever be bold enough to make this kind of prophetic statement. It just seems so out of character. It popped out of my mouth. I hadn't even thought it. It just popped out of my mouth. You ever had that where something pops out of your mouth and like, whoa, where did that come from? But somebody was, when we first came to town, they were very unhappy that we'd come and very unhappy with the church. And I had relationship with them and I wanted to visit with them to try to, you know, square it if I could. You know, that was partially successful, but they said this to me. They said, well, you know, that, I don't know why you'd ever go to that church and et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, all I can say is the hand of God is on those people. And whether I see it under my ministry or not, someday that'll be the largest spirit-filled church in town. And he responded with this, and how many people do you have? 85. He said, well, that's a really big boast for somebody who only has 85 people. What, you don't think anybody else in town's doing anything? I said, I'm not here to compare myself with anyone or compete with anyone. And I'm not boasting in me, I'm boasting in the Lord. But God's hand's on those people. And I just know he's gonna do something significant. You know how I view the church? When Debbie and I drive by the church, and she'll tell you can ask her many times, when we drive by the church, I either say this, can you believe that? I'm as stunned by what's happening here as anybody. Or I'll say this, you know, if ever there was a church God loved, it's that church. Again, not comparatively, not competitively. I'm just saying, he loves this place. And I believe this, I believe that if he tarries, that the best days are yet to come. I do not believe the blessing of the Lord. I have a responsibility. When we came, the hand of God so strong on this place that I remember saying to Debbie when she was asking, are you gonna take the church if they elect you? I said, you know, I don't know. God, the hand of God is so on those people. I'm afraid I'll mess it up. I'm afraid they'll say, we had a really good thing till Lindell came. And I've lived really in that sense of, I just wanna stay out of his way. I just want to see God do all that he wants to do because I believe God has plans for this church that go beyond my own leadership of the church. I just believe that. And in light of that, I want to invest on the day of Debbie and my death, whenever that is, I want to invest in what God is doing here. I'm just simply suggesting that there are some of you that it would be great if you would think that way. To whatever degree you want to, whether it's a tithe, whether it's substantially more than a tithe. Because what you're doing is you're saying, I realize the blessing of God is not just about me. And yes, I want to provide for my kids, but I don't want to provide more for my kids than I want to provide for the kingdom. I'm just gonna be honest with you. Of course, you say, well, you're a preacher, but I think it's part of the heart of God to say, I think God's big enough to bless everybody, but I want to bless the church. I'm just saying, realizing the blessing of God is not just for you, is a key to living the blessed life. because he can trust you with the things he gives you, because you've come to a place of generosity of spirit. Do you follow what I'm saying? God wants to bless your life. That's his nature. I'll close with this, Psalm 65, verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness. You know what? God wants to crown 2019 with his goodness. And your paths drip with abundance. There's so much, they overflow. It just like pours off. That's what God wants to do. You know, if you want the blessing of God, what's your relationship with God like? Strengthen it. Are there people you need to seek restoration with? Do it. And is there an area where you need to realize that the blessing is not just about you, it's about people around you? One last thing I'd say, for some, God's blessing will come to you. And it starts with repentance and being made right with God. You're away from God. You need to rededicate your heart or give your heart to him, and you'll see his blessing.